know if I can get that to stay or not, but I think y'all can hear me. I'd like to take a moment and thank God for giving me the opportunity to be here and to do this. So if I keep reaching for my ear, don't laugh. It doesn't want to stick. So let's try that. Does that work? Dear Heavenly Father, I'd like to thank you for the opportunity that you've given me to present your word. And I humbly pray that I do it in a way and in a manner that glorifies you, that it may reach everyone's heart as you intended to reach them. And I want to thank the fellowship here for giving me the opportunity, especially Brother Rick and the elder board. And I want to thank everybody else for showing up and tolerating me. I ask for your guidance and your wisdom as I deliver this word, and I pray that it comes back to you as you intended it to be received. I ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right. So before I get started on this, let me try that one.
Gotta give credit where credit's due.
I've been doing some reading, and I don't know how many of you are. Never a former pastor, are you? As long as you're following the word and reading scripture. But he's the financial manager for Guidepost, and he works with well over 200,000 staff members, pastors, nurses and doctors and missionaries throughout the world. Because one of the sad things is once we step away from an administrative position in the churches, the widows and a lot of the pastors are sent right into a poverty level or below it. So through Guidepost, he works very hard to make sure that they're not living in cardboard boxes. Pretty simple. And he does a lot of work for the widows of pastors that have passed on. And I just want to give him credit for this because a lot of this came from his writings. Okay. So let's see here. Can I grab that first slide from you? Rick had mentioned last week that he was trying to go back into the Old Testament, and I'm not going to steal your thunder on this one. I think you can elaborate on this better than I can, but I just want to show you that one of the questions we ask a lot, particularly when things go bad, is why, God? Why did this happen, or why does this happen? And this goes all the way back to Gideon. This is a perfect example here. And the funny thing about this is, I got to be honest, if an angel of the Lord came to me and told me anything, I don't think I'd question it. And that's exactly what Gideon did. An angel of the Lord came to him and told him, you know, what he was going to do, what he needed to do. And that was Gideon's question. If the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? And at that point, they were living in a time when Gideon was having to hide in a wine press to thrash wheat. Okay, couldn't do it out in the open like they used to do because the opposing armies would take it from him. So here he is in a wine press hiding in public sight to try and get food. And this angel shows up and tells him that he's going to be raised up to this great general. I mean, he's going to lead the people to freedom. And immediately he questions it. So I want you to know that this has started way back when. And I think we still do it today. I mean, I know I ask continuously when I know that I shouldn't. But, you know, God, why is this happening? And I'm pretty sure everybody here has asked that question at least once and probably a lot more than that. Okay, and even if we don't say it out loud, we tend to think it. And real simple, that's discouragement. When you're asking that question, it's coming from discouragement. And discouragement in its earliest stages is just that. We get a little sad, we get a little upset, we start to question things. But the worse it gets, it can actually be paralyzing to you. It can keep you from doing the things that you need to do. Let's see. I hate reading scripts, by the way, so I'm trying not to hold this up and read it. But the truth is, when it comes to that discouragement, you know, we don't have to look too hard, do we? I mean, everywhere we look, we've got, let's see, some of the lists I've written here. We've got broken homes. A lot of people have broken hearts, dreams and hopes that have been shattered for one reason or another. You got single parents trying to hold down their families. A lot of us have bills we can't pay. We're trying to rob Peter to pay Paul. Okay, it gets a little discouraging at times. And one of the ones that really hurts me personally is seeing the values of our country and our family values slipping away. I mean, we see it every day on TV, you know, the media and those that we've elected to be over us are driving us away from those values that made us so strong and so great. But there's some good news, okay? After Gideon got done asking this question, and we're standing here questioning it pretty much every day or every other day, Paul was actually faced with this question. And it's just amazing to me that a man like Paul would be in a position to be discouraged. I mean, this is the great Paul. I mean, this is the man that, you know, three-quarters of Scripture are coming from him. He was given this message. So we're going to take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8, chapter 1, verses 8 through 11. And this is Paul being faced with these issues, okay? And I'm just going to read over this kind of quickly. It says, "For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the afflictions we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raised the dead. He delivered us from such deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again. You must help us by prayer so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessings granted us through the prayers of many. That discouragement leads to that question quite often, you know. If God's with us, then why is this happening to us? It's a modern problem today. Not just a question that we asked years ago, but it actually plagues us today, like I was saying earlier. But when we settle into and accept discouragement as an everyday event, it has a powerful effect on us. It tends to give us a horrible outlook on life. You know, we sometimes no longer find a reason to get out of bed. Or when we're having trouble paying that bill, sometimes we just throw up our arms and say, hey, can't do it, not going to do it. I'm tired of beating myself up over this. And it causes us to move away from God's grace. And it should do just the opposite. And it leads us to statements, and let's see if I can remember these statements correctly. But a lot of times we find ourselves, like I was just saying with the bills or a problem, we'll say, okay, I just can't do it anymore. I'm giving out. I just can't do it. Or I'm giving in or I'm giving up. You know, these are all statements that are detrimental to us. It's showing a weakness in our faith. And some people actually get upset when others ask the question of, you know, if God's with us, why does this happen? And some people that are mature in faith actually get upset when they hear other believers say that. But I just want you all to know, no matter how mature you are or how new you are, if a man like Paul can be in a position to ask these questions, we can all be put in these positions. Okay? Verse 8, Paul's telling us he was giving out. You know, that's where he was at with that. He was in a bad way and he was under a lot of pressure. And one of the interesting things I found about verse 8 was it doesn't clearly tell us what the problem was. It just tells us he was in Asia and they were having problems. It says, "For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength." One of the versions actually says we were burdened beyond measure. Sounds a lot like discouragement. You know, this is the giving out part. I can't do this anymore. I don't know what to do. A little bit later on there, that discouragement was actually turning into more or less despair. I think it's really interesting that they don't tell us the exact issue that caused this. I think it allows us to actually insert our own problem there, our own despair, our own trouble, to actually put ourselves in Paul's shoes. And I think it's beautiful the way they did that. It just left us room to connect personally with Paul at that time. And I think that's great. You know, drawing closer to Paul's word is drawing closer to God's word, right? Weren't we just singing about that, Mark? You know, this is all information that Paul received from God, right? Yeah. So there's been a lot of times in my life, I know that I've been that far down or beaten or in situations where I just want to give out or give up, and I'm sure a lot of us here have been in those situations. I can actually think of one incident, and I won't go too far into it, when it was so bad I didn't have a choice. I just laid down in the deepest hole I could find, literally, and went to sleep. And that was a very eye-opening experience when I woke up about 9 hours later and all the bad stuff had gone away and I was still there. That was an answer from God. That told me there was going to be more, no matter what I was put in. And just to give you all an idea, do we have any Navy veterans here? No. Well, they have 16-inch guns on ships, just so you know. You ever seen a 16-inch gun? Okay. 16-inch gun, just so you know. The opening on that gun is from here to here. Yeah, found the deepest hole I could find and just laid down in there and prayed for the next day. Actually, it was something very specific I prayed for, and it was answered. So it can get pretty bad. If we look a little bit further on into verse 8, Paul actually reaches a point where it sounds kind of like he's given up. Okay? He says that we despaired of life itself. I mean, I keep going back to the strength of Paul, but Paul serves as a wonderful testimony for a lot of us, especially those of us that weren't raised in the church, or we fell away. This was a man who killed Christians, hunted them, and then through the grace of God was delivered to God. So it's pretty amazing to me that someone with that kind of firsthand connection so early on in our faith could get driven to that point. It just, that one really speaks to me. And this is the same guy that was able to rally the Romans together, right? I mean, this is the guy that taught them, we are more than conquerors. And here he is feeling so discouraged and so overwhelmed and distraught that he was ready to give up. It's all the proof I really need to understand that whether we're an infant or an adolescent or a mature Christian, everybody, every one of us is susceptible to this. Yeah. But like I said, that discouragement can be paralyzing. It can make you just give up. At times when you should be moving forward, you just give up, sit down, lay down, give up, give out. And it's kind of funny here because Mr. Hawkins made a quick note up here. He uses an analogy for this that any former lifeguards in here? I've worked as a rescue diver. And one of the amazing things in that field is when you have a thrashing victim, you have to let them go down. You have to let them give out and give up. Right? You don't approach a thrashing swimmer because they're liable to take you down with them. So you've got to sit back and you've got to watch this horrific act until they go down and give out and give up. Then you can safely grab them and save them. You know, a lot of times we find ourselves in situations and sometimes we're looking to Scripture or we're looking to others to see God's presence around us. You know, sometimes we need that. And while we're doing that, it can turn to discouragement because we see others doing so well. And here we are struggling and suffering. You know, we ask ourselves, you know, God, I know you're there. You know, Scripture tells me you're there. You're with me. Why aren't you doing something? Why are you letting me go through this? And if we look at this, you know, we can kind of look at this actually like a mechanic or a doctor. I know it sounds kind of strange, but a doctor or a mechanic, what happens when you show up there? They're doing two things. They're trying to find the cause of the problem, and then they're trying to find the cure. Okay? Paul took the same approach here. In verse 9, he indicates the cause of his discouragement. This is the part we've really got to hold on to. Is verse 9, indeed we felt that we had received the sentence of death. Here's the fun part, folks. Here's the part that we need to hold on to. But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raised the dead. Remember that swimmer I was talking about? If you're out there trying to rescue them, you've got to let them exhaust themselves. And now they have no choice but to rely on you to save them. And that's what we need to do with God. Okay? We're all guilty of it. It's amazing. When things are going great, we're having good fortune, a lot of blessings, right? A couple extra dollars in the bank, or we're able to take that vacation, or, oh, I got that raise. You know, these are all blessings from God. But a lot of times they start piling up. Good fortune, blessings, wonderful things that are making us smile. And all of a sudden we start stepping away from the thank you God part and we start giving ourselves credit for it. We put in the work. We did it. And we start to build ourselves up, you know, stepping further and further away from the blessings and acknowledging those blessings. You know, we'll get up in the morning and, you know what, I'm not going to open my Bible this morning. I'm just going to go to work. I'll get it at lunchtime. Lunchtime comes. And we forget to pray or we forget to open our Scripture then. And it even goes so far as to, you know what, they won't miss me at church this weekend. I've earned this vacation. I'm going to the lake. The following week, the hammer falls. Now we've got a major issue. We're late on our mortgage payment or something drastic. Our water heater went out. Our car broke down. And all of a sudden, we're right back to, why, God? Why'd this happen? Why'd you allow this to happen to me? You know, I think it's God's way of telling us, you know, I gave you free will. I wasn't asking for arrogance. You know, I've given you the opportunities to grow and to do the things that I'd ask you to do. But I still want you to rely on me. Okay? Our Father, I've actually heard someone say that there's an arrogance to God. He wants us to worship him. I don't think that's arrogance. He created us. If you're a mother or a father and you're sitting out here, I mean, you're really asking for respect from your children, right? I mean, you're not asking them to change the world, just asking them to respect you and to kind of rely on you. And that's the way we need to rely on God. I mean, he is our perfect father, right? So something bad comes along and we get right back to the why issue. And the misfortune brings us back to remembering that we shouldn't trust in ourselves, but to trust in the Lord. Verse 9 reminds us of that. And I actually think it's kind of interesting that you get a little further along in 2 Corinthians and you get to chapter 12, verse 10. And Paul actually delights and enjoys the suffering that he's enduring. He's finally put it into perspective. I have that issue a lot of times. I don't know about the rest of you, but when I think something's going wrong, every once in a while, God will tap me on the shoulder and remind me, if you think you're having it rough, you should have been up on a cross. You should have been bearing the burden and pain of my son. You know, this is what I offered for you. And you're over here feeling bad for yourself. Just really humbles you if you think about it, or it should. Okay? Verse 10 in chapter 12 says, "For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weakness, insults, hardship, persecution, and calamities. For when I'm weak, I'm strong." And right there, he's telling us, he's kind of reverting back to verse 9, you know, where when I can't go on anymore, you can't go on anymore. You know, one of the tricks we should be learning as believers is when we don't think we can go on anymore, it's a good time to just sit, listen, pray. You know, some people even use the term meditate. I kind of think that's a prayer, actually. You know, and I do, right? It's the original internet. You know, this is your time. You know, and something we were talking about earlier this morning, Rick, right? Prayer. Prayer doesn't have to be a formality, folks. You can be driving down the road. You could be sitting in a cafe somewhere. You know, there doesn't have to be a formal stand and bow. Just lower your eyes, lower your head. Focus on Christ and ask. Or focus on God and thank him. That's prayer, okay? There's no formality to it. So if you're a new believer here, and I don't know if we have any, but don't let that be the burden. Don't let that keep you from praying. We all know that prayer has a strength to it. And, you know, Paul knows that. He even brings that out. Let's get back to the analysis here. That's the part I messed up on. But he found the cause of what was causing him discouragement. And verse 12. Okay, here we go. Told you, I don't like reading these scripts. Sorry about this, Rick. I'm really screwing this one up on you. But the cure is actually twofold, okay? And you just heard me mention prayer, and Paul realizes this. The twofold cure for this discouragement and the problems and the issues, it's really in help and in hope. And first, in hope. And in verse 10, he says, "He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again." That's Paul relying on the hope of God, of Christ. The help portion is in verse 9. Now, as a grown, middle-aged American male, this is an issue for a lot of us. The ability to ask for help. You know, I've come to understand that if I have issues or if I have problems, I can call my brothers. I can call Rick. I can call Mark. Call Don. Wayne. I could even call Doc if I wanted to. Now, that may not sound like much to a lot of you, but Given my background, I was the one that everybody always came to for help. So learning to ask for help was a chore. I mean, I was the go-to guy or the problem solver. So I never learned to ask for help. And I just think it's wonderful that Paul points out to me that this is one of the cures for my discouragement. I'm living on the hope that God's going to deliver me as he promised. Okay? And I can trust in that promise that he made to me. But it's also, in verse 11 here, he says, "You must also help us by prayer so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessings granted us through the prayers of many." That goes back to that. Prayers have a strong impact. God is listening. He hears our prayers. May not answer them in the time that we want him to. Sometimes he just lets them sit on the side so you can work your way through them. Sometimes he knows your prayers are not what's best for you. Okay? So the hope in Christ and help from others is really the cure that Paul describes. If we look back at the beginning, Paul starts this letter because he wants us to know. He starts this whole thing by saying, "For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the afflictions we experienced in Asia." Not to hurt anybody's feelings, but I believe a lot of times that a lot of us are too proud. I just told you I was most of my life. A lot of us are too proud to ask for help when we need it. And that doesn't leave us with much. It leaves us with little to no hope and no help. And without those two things, Paul's made it clear to us that that's the cure for discouragement. So without those two things, there's no healing. We stay broken, we stay discouraged, and we allow it to drive us further and further down. And the further down we go, the farther away we move from God and the farther we move from light. And that's very dangerous. The cure for discouragement, it's in our God who raised the dead. And in verse 9, he makes that quite clear to us because he tells us, "But that was to make us not rely on ourselves, but to rely on God who raised the dead." And let's go back to the beginning here. Discouragement leads to despair. Despair leads to giving up, giving out, giving in. None of this, I promise you, is in God's plan for you to fall away from him. This is to get you to sit back quietly, lean on God, lean back. You've all seen that game where you stand up and fall back and somebody catches you. God's with you. Christ is there to catch you. Okay? Every one of us. And I know that because Scripture tells us that. We know Scripture is God's word, right? So I can rely on that. So I know that was kind of all over the place, folks. But verses 8 through 11 give us the facts that a man as strong and as amazing as Paul can fall into despair. And if a man like that can fall into despair, so can we. So we shouldn't feel bad about falling into despair. That's normal. Given the world we live in, every day there's tragedy, there's a problem, whether it's on a worldwide level, locally, or just in your home. That's normal. But what God's asking of us is he's probably waiting for us to give in and give up so we can sit back and learn to rely on him the way we're intended to. I know I've learned a lot over the last year to do nothing but rely on God. There's a lot of mornings or afternoons where my wife comes out and asks me what's wrong. There's nothing wrong. I'm sitting on my porch with a cup of coffee, and she's thinking there's a problem. It's not. That's me giving up, sitting back in that chair and relying on God's grace and God's comfort. And it's one of the things that drove me to wanting to teach and being given that desire to teach. You know, when I started with the gospel and reaching out to others, I started it with veterans. Okay, I don't know if any of you are aware of that, but a lot of veterans suffer from PTSD. And the VA's answer for that is, let's give them some medication. Well, my opinion, having been one, we've got enough addicts running around the world. I don't need their medication. I was able to learn that simply relying on God, relying on Him when it's quiet and it's dark and my head's going a million miles an hour, I've learned to sit back and listen and pray, and He's never let me down. And that was one of the things that I was able to bring to some veterans. And that's what led me to understand, this is why I need to be here. I tell people all the time, you've heard me say it at work, haven't you, Lori? I admit to being a pastor, and we're all pastors, just so you know that, right? We're all asked by God to spread the gospel. But the first thing I tell them is, yeah, I may be a pastor. I never said I was a good one. Right? So I'm doing what's asked, but I never said I was really good at it. But I'm going to leave you with two things here. I'll cut this off. The most recurring statement in the Bible is, and it came to pass. Most reoccurring statement. So trust in God. Discouragement, it'll come to pass. Use the cure. Be willing to give out and give up and rely on God. Fall back into His arms. He'll catch you. And if the Lord's with us, then why has this happened to me? The answer is actually wrapped up in the mysteries of God's sovereignty. Right? We were given some clues and some answers from Paul. But the mystery is really wrapped up in that sovereignty and all the love and perfection of His will. Okay? You've all heard this before. It says, but if He's numbered the hairs on our heads and He's seen the sparrow when it falls, how much more does He care for you who are tempted to give out, give in, or worse yet, give up? So Paul's made it quite clear to us, because obviously he survived all those trials and tribulations in Asia. So the simple fact is, folks, the Lord is with us every day. We need to remember that, especially when it gets discouraging for us. Lean back, He'll catch you. And know that He's there. These aren't just a bunch of words on paper. These were men's lives. These were the words that God gave to them to give to us. So, I mean, you look at the gifts that He's given us, the Son for salvation. And a direction manual. I mean, really. So, that's going to close out what I have to say. Just leave here and go through your week knowing, you know, when you meet those tribulations and those trials and those issues, even that hard-headed individual that cuts you off in traffic, that's aggravated you. God's with you. He's given us that promise. He's told us that. Okay. How'd I do, man? I do okay? Okay. Okay, so at this time, Brother Mark's going to come up, and you want to take that line, or you want me to put it out there? We have an invitation here that, you know, if you have not come to Christ yet and you would like to come to Christ, or even if you're just interested and you don't know, Brother Rick and the elders, even the person sitting next to you, come on up. We can talk about it. Everybody's invited, even the worst of us. Trust me, because you're looking at one of the oldest worst of us. Okay? Really. Dot's over here laughing. We ought to talk and have coffee sometime. You'd understand what I mean. But and my wife's laughing at me, too, because she knows the truth. honestly, folks, 10 years ago, 12 years ago, if those people were still in my life, they would, they'd be in the cardiac care unit at the hospital. They wouldn't believe that I'd stand up here and try and preach the word. So if you'd like to know the Lord and you want to come to the Lord, or you just want to talk about him, we'd like to invite you all to come up and talk to any of the elders or any members here.
Let's stand together, please. We sing our song of invitation. And consistent with this message, if you're just about to go under and you're struggling, ready to call out to the Lord, come forward to him. God, we pray for wisdom for the doctors and everybody involved. Anybody else?
I have a great granddaughter that's running a high fever last night. I think it's broken now. But, remember her? Her name is Sheila.
Sheila?
Sheila Grace.
Okay. Okay. Yes, ma'am.
Pray for high school campuses. We pray for campuses and faculty.
Amen. Amen. We've got to pray for high school students. Yes, Mr. Joe. Hallelujah. Anything else? Who has a closing prayer? Sir?
Father God, we thank you so much for the opportunity to worship you. We thank you for giving the message you gave us today. Help us to realize, Lord, that when bad things happen to us, sometimes it should teach us and to mold us into relying on God and looking to him for strength. I pray.
Come back tonight. We're in 1 Peter. We're going to finish out the second chapter. Might even start on the third. But it's a good time learning God's word.